Brothers and sisters, it's good to be back with you for the worship of God. Let us pray. O God, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead us. Let them bring us to your presence, that in your light we may see light. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 91. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, "The Lord is my refuge," and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Many of us adults can recall a certain childhood feeling that has now pretty much faded away. It's a childlike feeling of security in the nest. It's a sense that you are protected, defended, perfectly safe. It's the feeling that somebody else is in charge, somebody big and strong and experienced, somebody who never goes off duty. In properly functioning homes, children often have this feeling. We adults, not so much, and we miss it. Years ago on the old Candid Camera TV show, someone interviewed a beefy truck driver, a man of about 50. They asked him at one point what age he would be if he could be any age he wanted. Well, the trucker thought it over. What was he thinking? Was he hankering for age 65 so he could trade his Kenworth 4 1/4 semi-tractor down to a John Deere riding lawnmower? Or was he yearning for age 18 and the chance to go back there and take some turn he had missed? Finally, after thinking it over, the trucker said if he could be just any age at all that he wanted, he'd like to be 3. 3, said the interviewer. Yes, because when you're 3, you have almost no responsibilities. When I first heard the interview, I thought this man was trying to be cute. I now think he said something wistful. What he knew was that when you are a child, and if your family is running the right way, your burdens are usually small. You can go to bed without worrying about whether leaves are clogging the downspouts. You don't wonder whether the tingling in your left leg is a first symptom of some exotic nerve disease. You don't worry that some deduction you claimed, a federal person is going to find just a little bit too creative. No, you squirm deliciously in your bed, comforted by the murmur of adult conversations elsewhere in the house. You hover wonderfully at the edge of slumber, and then you let go and fall away. You dare to do this because you expect in the morning that you're going to wake up. But you also dare to do it because you are sleeping under your parents' wing. If parents are taking proper care of you, you can give yourself up to sleep because somebody else is in charge, somebody big and strong and experienced, somebody who never goes off duty. As far as a child knows, parents stay up all night. They adjust temperature controls, they drive away marauders, they never go off duty. If a shadow falls over the house or demons begin to stir, parents will take care of it. That's one reason children sleep so well. Their nest is sheltered and feathered, and they love it, and they should. I think children might be a little bit alarmed to discover how much we adults crave this same sense of security. Adults need to be sheltered too. Some of us have been betrayed. Some of us have grown old and are not happy about it. People get betrayed, or they get old, or they get sick. Some are deeply disappointed that their lives haven't turned out as they had hoped. Others have been staggered by a report that's come back from a pathology lab. Still others are unspeakably ignored by people they treasure. Some are simply high-tension human beings, strung tight like piano wire. To all such folk, the psalmist speaks a word of comfort. It's one of the great themes of the Bible. God is our refuge. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. The image here is that of an eagle or maybe a hen. In any case, it's a picture of a bird that senses danger, maybe something falling from above, maybe the approach of a predator, and spreads out its wings, and its young walk under them for shelter. An expert on birds told me this move is deeply instinctive. A mother bird senses the approach of a predator or senses something is falling from above, and out go those wings. It's just automatic. And the fledglings scuttle underneath for shelter. And the psalmist, who has almost surely seen this lovely thing happen, the psalmist thinks of God. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. The psalmist is citing God as our shelter because some days the winds start to howl. The point is that under God's wings we are protected, defended, perfectly safe. The point is that somebody else is in charge, somebody big and strong and experienced, somebody who never goes off duty. In one of his books, John Timmer tells of his experience as a boy in the Netherlands at the start of World War II. German troops had invaded a few days before, but nobody knew just what to expect. And then on the second Sunday of May, 1940, as the Timmer family was sitting around its table at noon for dinner, suddenly they heard an air raid siren, and then they heard the droning of German bombers. And of course, everybody was scared out of their mind. They leaped up from the table, and John's father said, "Let's go stand in the hall. They say it's the safest place to be." And in the hall, John's father said, "Why don't we pray? I don't know what else to do." John Timmer writes that he's long ago forgotten the exact wording of his father's prayer, all except for one phrase. Someplace in that prayer, John's father said, "Oh God, in the shadow of your wings, we seek our refuge." It's a picture, God spreading wings over us, a picture that the Jewish and Christian generations have cherished, because if we had a good childhood, it invites us to recover our childhood sense of security in the nest. And if we are working away from a troubled childhood, it invites us to gain this sense for the first time. Still, if you are thinking, one little question is pricking you right now. How true is the picture of a sheltering God? I wonder whether in 1940, on the second Sunday of May, whether some other Dutch family begged God to spread wings over their house, and I wonder whether the German Luftwaffe pierced those wings and blew that house and all of its inhabitants to rubble. You read Psalm 91 and you start to wonder. It offers such comprehensive coverage. You will not fear the terror of the night, or the arrow that flies by day, or the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or the destruction that wastes at noonday. Really? I needn't fear any of these things? I can sleep in a dangerous neighborhood with my windows open. I shall not fear the terror of the night. My child's temperature soars and her white blood count plummets. I shall not fear the pestilence that stalks in darkness. I can ignore evacuation orders during a hurricane. I shall not fear the destruction that wastes at noonday. Really? Is there a level of faith that can honestly say these things? Let's face the truth. Faith in the sheltering wings of God does not remove all physical danger or our need for precaution against it. We can't ignore Middle East tourist advisories or feed wild animals on our camping trips or jump a hot motorcycle over a row of parked cars and trust God to keep us safe. We can't smoke cigarettes our whole lives like the Marlboro Man and then claim the promises of Psalm 91 as our protection against lung cancer. It'd be a foolish Christian who did this, and a foolish reader of the Bible. Remarkably, in Matthew's gospel, Satan quotes Psalm 91 to Jesus in the temptation at the pinnacle of the temple. "Throw yourself down," says Satan. After all, it says right in Psalm 91 that he will give his angels charge over you to bear you up on their wings. And Jesus replies that it is not right to put God to the test. It seems that God's protection is good for certain events and that restrictions may apply. Jesus was teaching us that we may not act like fools and then count on God to bail us out. God may do it. And when I remember how I drove my dad's Buick when I was 16 and am still here today, God did it. But we may not count on it. And then, of course, some believers get terribly hurt by no folly of their own. Suppose a drunk driver plows into your family car. Suppose an I-beam falls in on you in a storm. Or suppose you are a devout, middle-aged Christian woman who lives in Grand Haven, Michigan, and one September you start not to feel very well. So you visit your primary care physician who sends you for tests, and then you visit with a specialist who sends you for more tests. And when the test results come back, your physician says to you, "Ma'am, I'm sorry to say the news is not good, and you had better get your affairs in order." He goes on to say more, far more, about tests and progress and making you as comfortable as possible and future hopes and all kinds of well-meant stuff, but you are deaf to it all because you have started to think, "I am going to die. And I'm going to die before my own parents do. And I'm going to die before my oldest daughter gets married." Now, where are those wings? I think that what troubles us is not the sheer fact that believers have to take suffering along with everybody else. C.S. Lewis once pointed this out. If the children of God were always delivered from floods like Noah and his family, if every time somebody pointed a gun at a Christian, it just turned to salami, if we really did have a money-back guarantee against disease, the wages of sin, well, then we wouldn't have to worry about church growth, would we? Our churches would fill with people who want the faith for its benefit plan. We already have people becoming Christians because they hope to get rich or get happy. What would happen to people's integrity if becoming a believer really did give us blanket protection against poverty, accident, and death? No, it's not that we have to take our share of the world's suffering that bothers us. Not that. Our experience and the rest of Scripture have taught us to expect hardship. What worries us is that Psalm 91 tells us not to worry. It says, 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. This is advertising that sounds too good to be true. In fact, the psalmist says, if you make the Lord your refuge, then no evil will befall you. And the statement troubles us. What about Paul? What about Stephen? What about our Lord himself? Jesus wanted to gather the citizens of Jerusalem as a hen gathers its chicks. And one day, what the Romans did was to drag him outside the city and nail his wings to some 2x4s. So what is going on in Psalm 91? How are its extravagant promises God's word to us? Well, in the time that's left to me, I'm going to make two observations about this, and then this sermon will be over. First, what Psalm 91 does is to express one of the moods of faith, one of the loveliest, one of the most treasured, but just one of the moods of faith. It's a mood of exuberant confidence in the providence of God. Probably the psalmist has just been protected against some kind of evil, some dangerous incident, and he is celebrating. But on other days, and in other moods, this same psalmist might have cried out to God from darkness and despair. That, too, is a biblical mood of faith. Remember that when our Lord was crucified, when our Lord shouted at our God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Remember that he was quoting from the Psalms, Psalm 22. Despair or astonishment at what God sees fit for us, that too is a natural and biblical mood of faith. Second observation. Psalm 91 says, no evil shall befall us. When we have cashed out some of the poetry and then added in the witness of the rest of Scripture, what we get, what our take-home is, I believe, is that no final evil shall befall us. We all know that we can believe in God with all our heart and yet have our heart broken by the death of a child or the treachery of a spouse or the menace of some fatal disease. We know that. Every one of us here knows that. And yet, generation after generation of believers have known something else too and have testified to it. They testify that in the mystery of faith, they find God's hand on them in the darkness, a voice that calls their name, and a sheer certainty that nothing can ever separate them from the love of God. When I was a brand new pastor, forgive a personal example, brand new pastor, my favorite aunt got fatally afflicted with cancer. And I traveled from Rochester, New York to Grand Rapids to see her and was so shocked at how she looked that I couldn't think of anything to say. But she could. She said, "Neil, I'm going to die. But I have never felt closer to God in my life. I am dying into the arms of my Heavenly Father. And it's all good." That happened 50 years ago. I've never forgotten. We are all like fledglings, all like little birds who scuttle under the wings of their parent. The forces of evil beat on those wings, the pitchforks of the evil one, falling tree limbs in the storm, everything beats on those wings, and when it is finished, those wings are all bloody and busted and hanging at wrong angles. But they have stayed out there, no matter what came whistling in, because they are out there to be bruised for our iniquities and wounded for our transgressions. And when the feathers quit flying and we peep out, we discover that we have been in the only place that has not been leveled. Yes, we've been bumped and bruised and hurt, sometimes badly hurt, but the other choice was to be dead. The other choice was to break out of the embrace of God and die. God is the one who protects us against final evil, both in this life and in the life to come, in which it is at last safe for God to fold his wings. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. It's not a simple truth, but it is the truth, and we should take it home with us this very day.